Okay, well, I just got the finger, so I guess I'll have to proceed. That was like, you're on, I have it all set up, you can go now, okay? But if I really were true to this talk, I'd have to just say truthfully, you know, I don't know. And that would be the talk, because it's all about confusion, okay? But I'm going to give it a shot. And confusion is really contained in the word. It's just what the word said and tells us, okay? It says confusion. In other words, with fusion. And what is fusion but coming together? We know that when we go eat fusion, a fusion cuisine, we're eating usually two styles brought together. It may be weird fusion, like Asian and Peruvian or something like that, but it's different cuisines, different cultures brought together. Things have merged, okay? And that's confusion. And that's our state. Now, how did that all happen, okay? Well, real simply, it happened because it comes with the territory. If you have a body, guess what? The spirit is inside of you, okay? But you're here on this planet, okay? And the soul, we know that the soul lives on many levels. And it lives in what's called the negative worlds as well as the positive worlds. And the reason it lives in the negative worlds is because it's forgotten who it is. It's forgotten that it is spirit. It's forgotten that it is soul. And because we've forgotten who we are, we're in the body. And that's God's gift to us. He gives us an opportunity to come to know him. And there is a way, okay? But this all happens, and this is really important, in fusion. It happens with both our, and I'll use the vernacular, the common terms, with both our positive and negative parts of ourselves, or our positivity and our negativity, or the spirit and the matter that's within us, okay? That God gives us this opportunity of human life, and human life is fusion. It has both, okay? This is the backdrop. It's inherent. There's always fusion. There's always confusion. You have both the negative polarity and the positive polarity, spirit and matter going on, okay? That means that everything we do takes place against this backdrop. In other words, we have these thoughts, these emotions, these feelings that are negative, okay? But why do we have them? Okay, we have them because of fusion. They come with the territory. They come with the spirit that's within us, or the soul. And it's against that backdrop that we need to exercise what God's given us. And what he's given us is free will. So the confusion is there so that we can exercise our free will. Okay? And what happens is we walk around confused and we forget the fusion part. In other words, what we try to do is, oh, we only want to have one or the other. In other words, oh my God, I'm spirit. Oh, I can't have these thoughts. I can't have these emotions. And we repress them and we get into real serious trouble. Well, that's a lot of nonsense. If you weren't supposed to have them, God wouldn't have put it in the system. You're supposed to have them. Ah, but the trick is what? Using those to lift and grow. Think, I'm so spiritual, I can't have those thoughts. I can't have those feelings. Oh, yeah? Like hell you can't. If the Christ can have them, you can have them, because that's how he got Christed. And that's how you're going to get Christed, by exercising them. Okay? Or we identify with the other polarity. I'm just my negativity. I'm just my worry. I'm just my thought. And I can't have spirit. And so spirit is up there, or God is up there. And we're human beings are great at this, you know. God's up there, and we're down here, you know, and never the twain shall meet. And maybe we'll have a good intermediary, you know, get some clergy, and they're good, and they can be intermediaries, okay? And that perpetuates the karma, and it perpetuates our not being responsible. See, and what always amazes me is people are smart enough to know many times that religion has nothing to do with God, but then they get lazy, and they don't take it to the next step, and they throw out God with religion, or they throw out spirit with religion. Okay, but have the integrity to stay with the truth, okay, of God and spirit. Okay, it doesn't have to do with religion. What does it have to do with? Okay, and yet every soul goes through all the religions. Okay, so, you know, I don't know how many of you know church history, but there was quite a problem caused and quite a schism when the great problem of the nature of the Christ, and by the Christ I mean Jesus, was in relating to church history, because that's the only thing they recognize. What is the nature of Christ? Was he human who became divine? Or was he divine who took on human form? And there were backers of each position. And there are some very serious problems in church and schisms that still are in effect today because of man's trying to mentally come to some conclusion. And what we've done is, like true human beings, we've created a problem when none exist. Our mind works in categories, okay? And we'd go either or. You can't be human and spiritual. You have to be one or the other, okay? And in confusion is something very, very important. And that is, there's a paradigm here. There's a new parameter. And that is that it means both and. So you're both human and your spirit. And the teachings that I'm involved with teach us what it means to be human. That it has to do with the first manifestation of God. And that's who we are. We're manifesting God in this world. And even though we don't have a clue and we've forgotten who we are, that's still the truth. So confusion is our true nature, okay? And what we do is we play dumb. We make confusion into being dumb. Well, I don't know, you know, or this and this and this and this, you know, and I started this talk, and I hit on, to me, which to me is something I always get a kick on, is one of the prime examples of confusion in the negative sense is money. You know, oh, I can't give, I don't have a job. And this person will tell you that as he's pumping gas in the car that he's paying for monthly and paying for his insurance, you know, as he's going to the grocery store or whatever. Who's giving him the money? Where's it coming from? Or I got to get this job, you see, because that's where the money is, you know? Or, you know, someone's trying to figure out, well, should I get this job and it'll pay this amount? And should I move to this city and where it'll pay more and then I can make more money and I'll be okay? Well, you're not going to be okay at all because you haven't learned to co-create with the spirit. You've forgotten the fusion part. So yeah, you're going to do it yourself. Well, good luck, you know? See, it was also interesting to me that when we got together in retreat and we did a process in the pool, that the winner of the game was the one who was non-competitive, not competing against anybody else, but simply bringing out the best in himself. That's really important. See, because when we go against someone, we're going against the spirit in us. See, if we hold a negative thought, you know, we think, oh, okay, this person has a negative thought, and they're resentful, and they have a lousy personality. I don't want to be with him or her. You know, the real lousy, ugh, I can't stand them. And we think that's it. okay? But it's not because that resentment that that person holds, guess what? It's responsible for that. It keeps sending back the negativity as the creator. And it's karmically responsible. The hurt, the pain that we all hold on to, we're responsible for that. See? And so the confusion is there, so that the coming together of both our natures, in reality, you see, we have duality because we're here in this world. And that's how you manifest. You manifest in duality. Okay, but we know that our nature is unipolar. We have only one nature. We are a spirit. And underneath it all, we are a spirit. And that's our true purpose, to come to that. But God gives us fusion, you know? See, we all we love to physicalize stuff, and we miss the point. Okay, so for example, you know, it's like the Jews have the mezuzah, they kiss it on the door, and that guards your comings and goings, and it's a physical thing. Well, that's not at all what's meant, okay? It has to do with the upper part of the third eye and the comings and goings of the soul from the body while it's in the body, and that is a protected action through the grace of the Lord God in the initiatory process. That's what that teaching is about, but it got physicalized, okay? The resurrection of the physical body. Well, I don't know about you, but I certainly don't want this body again. I mean, thank you, body. You've been doing nice service. But I don't want to pick this one up again. Well, get the arthritis, get the aches, get the pains, you know? Get where Edward has stepped on my foot, you know, all those times. Forget it. I don't want this, but that's not the physical body. Okay? And yet we do that. You know, and then I got a kick, I don't know how, in today's paper of, there was a statue of Mother Teresa, and all these groups were claiming possession. No, she was born in Albania, but she wasn't an Albanian, you know? She was this, or she was an Orthodox Christian. She was a Slavic Orthodox. No, this group says, no, she's not a, you know, we all want to, you know, possess her. What are we trying to possess? The divine. But what's the divine, and why is it in her and not in us? And that was just an aspect of the divine. You know, that was her karma, that soul's particular karma. See, or what the alchemists try to do. They made it a physical process. And they try to convert all these precious metals into gold. Okay, but the real alchemy is the spiritual process. And that has to do with fusion and the coming together. And that's why it's there, so that we can lift and we can grow and we can exercise our free will, okay? And many of us do the agenda. Okay, well, I'll decide, okay, and I'll do X, Y, and Z, and then there's these laws of spirit going on, but I won't be under them, okay? Well, good luck to you. Good luck to you. Okay? And confusion also, if we decide to be confused in the negative sense, what we do is we'll start lifting spiritually, you see? And then we'll start, and many of you will even start to, as souls, start to do a process as a soul where you're coming to know yourself as soul. And what happens is you'll encounter doubt and fear and pain, okay? And you'll think, oh my God, that's not supposed to happen. And you'll just ditch it. Okay? And what's really happened is that you've been caught by the lower self. You've been made a fool out of. And you're still responsible. Okay? See? And it comes from separating. In other words, oh, these doubts, these fears, these et ceteras, they shouldn't be in there, and I should be lifting this way. See? Well, the reality is, guess what? You're supposed to be lifting exactly as you're lifting. And I've never seen a person who should it on him or herself. You know, it should be this way, it should be that way. I've never seen that person not be exactly out of the textbook. Exactly what they thought shouldn't be happening is exactly to the nth degree what needed to be happen, what needed to happen, you know? And it's interesting, when you live in a state of confusion, positive confusion, there's an integrity with it, okay? Let me give you an example, okay? And I'll just use my own son. That when he was in high school, in the ninth grade, he played JV basketball. And sometime that year, he said, you know, Mom and Dad, let's go out to dinner because I have something to talk to you about. And I said, oh, wow, okay, this is interesting. So we went and we had a nice dinner. And our son told us that he had made a big decision, that he had decided to go out for the varsity in the 10th grade. And he knew what that meant. It meant that he was putting his skills and abilities on the line, that he was being honest enough with himself and humble enough to admit that he had some skills. And probably the hardest part of the decision was he was leaving his best friends behind. They would play another year of JV. Okay, well, he did go out for the team in the 10th grade. Not only did he make the team, but he started in every game, every single game. Probably played the most minutes on the team. Okay? So there's an integrity there, and you have to be honest enough with yourself to be different. And, you know, when you're a teenager, there's this tremendous peer pressure. You know, want to be just like them, you know? And we all know the stereotypical high school scene, you know, at the lunchroom. The jocks sit in one corner, the nerds sit in the other, the preppies sit in this corner. You know, and all the lookalikes and all the same alikes, you know, sit there together, okay? But when you're in positive confusion, what you're doing is you're fusing the uniqueness of yourself and the spirit that you are, okay? And you're willing to take that chance and to grow. You know, and just to use an example of some of my son's friends, one friend was told in his junior year that, yeah, he would make the varsity, but he probably wouldn't play a minute. And he didn't complete going out for the team, and he left, and he actually became the editor-in-chief of the paper, which is quite an accomplishment in that school. Another kid was on the varsity in his junior year, and in the senior year, he realized he wouldn't get much playing opportunity. He left and developed himself in the theater. So everything can be an opportunity, okay? Everything can be an opportunity, okay? And, you know, confusion can play funny games. So, for example, you know, oh, my God, I got to get this job in this city, and then I'll be able to support myself. Well, how come you've been running this for years, and underneath it all, isn't there something going on? Like you're not there, and you have to do all these things in order to be there, and you're never quite there. And then you know when you get it, you're going to be running the same thing. You've never trained your consciousness to be a co-creator with God. See? And that's the solution. It's the solution in the sense of a solution to the problem. See, and to be honest, there are only problems when we live in duality. And the mind loves problems, and it loves to create problems, because then it could, quote, solve them. See, it can, quote, solve them. It's got something to do, and it could prove how powerful it is. Okay? But when we live in the spirit we are, there are no problems. There can't be. There's no duality. There are no paradoxes. Everything resolves itself, and everything exists. Okay, or in reality, nothing exists but the spirit you are. You know? And, oh, the spirit I am, how could I be spirit? I don't even have time to meditate. Oh, you'll have time when you're in the grave. No, you won't. Because you won't consciously be able to make that decision and focus there. You'll just be without a body, and you'll be vibrating in the same frequency in the inner worlds as when you were in the body. No difference. Okay, did you use the lifetime for what you were given it for? No. Okay, well, one lifetime down. Couple more to go, huh? That's fine. What's the hurry? You know, God's patient. You see? God's patient. And what he does is he gives us all the opportunities we need to produce the gold. And what is the gold? Well, we know what the gold is. It's being Christed. It's having our consciousness at one with God. It's walking the path exactly as we were taught by the Christ or by the Christed beings. You know, not religion, not anything, but the path laid down by God that's been here for, well, I don't know, the at least 4,000 or 5,000 years that have been recorded of it. So it's been here forever, and it's been recorded for a long, long, long time. So there's a long history of souls on this planet knowing how to walk this path, you see? And the solution is also the solutio. You know, like in chemistry, we have a solution like in a little beaker. That's the solution, okay? And what's the solution? The solution is inside you. The solution is to know your own identity, to know that you are spirit, to have integrity with that, and to fulfill the purpose of life, you see? And the thing that I love about this path is it's an equal opportunity employer. Doesn't care about your background. Doesn't care if you're a millionaire or a pauper. Doesn't care if you're blue, green, white. It doesn't care if you're a whore, a bottle washer, a surgeon, or any of that stuff. It couldn't care less. Okay? Because we're all souls and we're all of the spirit. And through grace, we all have an opportunity to have that solution. You see, and the solution is in the physical. And we separate, oh, God's up there, or he's away, or I'm turned off. I don't want to have anything to do with spirit. Well, then don't be a liar and don't take your next breath. How can you take your next breath and say there isn't something that doesn't exist beyond just your physical environment? Because all the physical being is an outcropping of the soul's life in the inner worlds, because that's where you live. And you're just in manifestation here in the body. Okay? And confusion comes when we don't recognize that God's in every moment, and he's in the negative, so-called negative feelings. He's in the hurt. He's in the pain. He's in the situation where you can't get a job or where you don't know what to do. Okay? He's in that situation too. Okay? Who's given you that whole variety of stuff? You know, those are all gifts. But you have to know how to use them. Okay? And the solution is always two words, God's will. God's will. Okay? God's will is that we, as souls, come to know ourselves as souls and go home to him and live in what I call abundance consciousness. And abundance means our consciousness is always at God or with God. It's a Christed consciousness. Or we use the giraffe here, that we just walk through the things of this planet, but our consciousness is with God. Because in reality, what I've seen, people don't know what the hell is going on, and we don't know what the hell we're responding to. You could be responding to some creation you've made lifetimes ago, eons ago. And you're addressing that inside yourself. You don't know. You haven't a clue. So how serious can we take our thoughts and our feelings? And yet we take them very seriously. And the reason we do is we're confused about our confusion. We're confused about our fusion. We think God's not here. But he's here, folks, and he's living in you as you. And God's will is always the solution. Okay, and even if we don't know what's going to happen when we drop our habitual thoughts or our habitual patterns, guess what? That's okay. You know, nature abhors a vacuum, so something's going to rush in and take that place. Okay, and many times we as people, we're afraid to have something new because at least we know the bad stuff. You know, we're familiar with that. Okay, and we don't want to take the risk of what it's going to be like to be much better. Okay, well, I'm suggesting you do take that risk. Okay, and also the thing that brings us into that unipolar existence is the thing that's been here forever. Okay, and that is whatever you want to call it, the Holy Spirit or the sound current. And that's how the soul starts to know itself as spirit, as soul. And that's how the confusion in the negative sense lifts. And then we get to be here on this planet. And we get to really, really, really see that this is all the play of God. This is all the divine Lila. You know, in a sense, that makes a liar out of us. It really does make a liar out of us. Because, oh my God, we thought it was this, it was this, it was this, it was this, and we thought our thoughts and our feelings are so real. Well, they're not, you know. And I was talking to someone today who mentioned Halloween. Well, my comment was, well, hell, every day is Halloween on this planet. And it really is because, you know, you get the astral imaginings going on. And that's what our planet is. It's full of those imaginings. And we get into fear, we get into lack, we get into hurt, we get into pain, we get into separation. That's not the reality of who we are. Okay? The spirit is always here. Okay, I'm going to have to stop for a minute. There's a lot of feedback on the phone. If you can mute out, would you be kind enough to mute out? Or thank you. And okay. Okay, see, and that kind of static is what we're always running. So I want to give you some homework. I want you to carry around for just a week, a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen, and every hour or two, write down the predominant thought that's been in your head going through you. Okay, and then at the end of the day, read them over and then just see if there's a common denominator. And then see, write down that common denominator and do this every day for a week. And then see what your common denominators are. Okay. Okay. Before I end this talk, let's just do a process.
Q&A mode is on.
Okay. Hello?
Yes. No, I tell you, I didn't know what happened.
Oh, okay. We try to mute out, so we're fine. Okay, but nice to hear your voice. Okay, so let's do a process. And okay, take a moment now and just let vast confusion come up in the real negative sense. Okay. Now ask the light of the Most High to bring forward fusion in the best sense, that God's in that too, or spirit is in that too. Okay, now ask the Lord God to bring forward the solution. Some of you just went into mental tripping, trying to get it with your mind. Good luck. There you go. Just allow it to be brought forward. It's organic. Okay. Good. I have a process, and I'd like you to do this as often as you can. Whenever you get into a confused state in the negative sense of the word. Okay. And also, be honest with yourself. Identify yourself for who you are. Okay. In other words, if you think you're female or this person or that person, or you're this person and you're 14 years old and you're in the ninth grade, or you're 75 years old and you're retired or whatever, okay, well, obviously that thing's not going to be true in a year. So obviously that's not who you are. So positive confusion has a lot to do with identifying yourself as spirit. Okay, and from that place, we co-create. And we start to know who we are. And we start to lift and we start to move. And we start to reconcile with our true nature. And start to receive our divine inheritance. Instead of living in negative polarity with just one pole. Oh, it's right here. There are two poles here, the positive and the negative. Use the negative to lift. That's how it's intended, and that's how we come to remember who we are. We keep reinforcing that and reinforcing that and reinforcing that. Okay, and we're all souls and we're all spirit. And God in His kindness and His mercy, He's provided us a way back home. And each and every moment, we have an opportunity to be with Him by surrendering. Okay, and just in conclusion, you know, what was discovered in the pool was that Spirit or God isn't reached by achievement or by conquering or any of that stuff. But that the power is in surrender and in receiving God inside, because that's where He is. Okay, a lot of us in our journeys, we've come to see that, okay, God's not outside. That's been disappointed, that whole search. But where is He? How could He be inside? I'm just human. Well, that's right, folks. You are human, and you're part of the fusion. And God wasn't confused when He created confusion. And we'll stop with that. Okay, I will take a...
All right, go ahead.
Okay, if anyone has a question from out in Phoneland, I'll be happy to take a question. Am I not speaking into this? Okay, you gonna give me an easy night, or? Okay, well, anyone? Good. Okay, anyone have a question here?
Oh, if no one else has one, when we talk about fusion and bringing two different things together, how is that different than blending?
Okay, well, not to get technical, but why don't you, for all practical purposes, consider it one and the same? Okay, except, okay, in reality,
your true nature is that you are spirit. And what has happened is because of the exercise of choices as a soul, you've chosen away from the spirit you are and have chosen away from God, and you have enabled the negative pole to get a stronghold on you, as it were. And so it seems like the negativity has overshadowed the spirit that you are. But in reality, the true nature, that remains separate and apart, as it were, the spirit that you are. It's in it, but it's not of it. And all this, the confusion takes place in the backdrop, obviously, of the physical world in duality. Okay, and yet it is in it, but it is not of it, because it is not of the negative polarity. So in reality, there's not a blending, okay, but there's a, it's very much like a swimmer swimming in water, okay, in a pool, let's just say. Yeah, I know the human body has a lot of water in it, okay, but the swimmer is not of the same water that he is swimming in, okay? The soul is of, not of the negative polarity or the physicality, nor the emotionality, nor the causality, nor the unconscious in which it's living in, okay? The world ain't its home, okay? But it uses the inhabitants of the world, as it were, the thoughts, the feelings, the karmic patterns, etc., to lift and to grow and to come to remember its true self.
Is that why the Alzheimer's people respond so well, just from their spirit and emotions? And they all listened to the tape. They were all totally present and getting it.
Yep. Well, that's very true, because it does. It, you don't have to go through the physical to get it. You know, reminds me of a show I saw on Tourette's, and they had all these people, about five or six people with Tourette's syndrome, which is, can manifest many times as severe cursing, nervous tics, etc., etc. And they had this actor, and he learned, and he was saying shit all the time, and fuck, and another curse word, and he managed to, every time he was going to say that, it's a neurological disorder. Well, there's no such thing as a disorder. It's perfect order. That was the karma upon this particular soul. And he managed to learn how to convert that sound into a sh sound. And sometimes he would whistle a little bit. There was a teacher of French who had the same cursing thing. And then there was an 8-year-old kid who loved a football player and loved football. And he just had really bad tics, where his whole body would tick every 3 to 4 seconds. And the show surprised him by having this football player that he adored on. And the football player came on, you know, and he gave him a jersey and an autograph, and they talked for a couple of minutes, you know. Well, in all that time, that kid did not have one single tick. And almost as strange, if not stranger than that, was the fact that no one commented on that or even noticed it. But I've never forgotten that. Okay, well, that should tell us something about something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, you know, you have to be careful for the reasons why people have Alzheimer's. Okay, maybe they need to bypass certain physical processes or certain entanglements in the world so they can focus on certain things. It might be a vast blessing separate and apart from the way the world looks at it. And
I'm sorry, you said a bad blood thing?
No, it may be a vast blessing.
Oh, a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you have any bad blood going on between you and anyone or relatives, Vicky, I suggest you drop it. Okay, kiddo. A word to the wise.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Okay, any question here, or? Good, listen.
Yeah, could you comment?
Hold on.
I've forgotten how high-tech we are.
Okay. Could you comment a little bit on the soul's inner learning and the soul's outer learning? What the relationship is?
Okay. Why do I have to repeat the question if she just spoke into a microphone with it?
The tape recorder keeps
Okay, you see, now this is negative confusion here, that the person speaks into her mic here and it goes directly into our recording, but the people on the other end of the phone can't hear it, you see? This is the split we were talking about. Not good. Okay, the question was, can I comment upon the soul's outer learning versus the soul's inner learning? Okay, I will if we can all play a game. And let's play the game of the question. And let's play the game that the question makes sense. Okay? It doesn't make sense for the simple reason that in reality there is no such dichotomy. And that was really the main purpose of the talk. Okay, but in the world, yeah, it looks like I'm over here, you're over there, and you're over here. Okay, so let's all play that game. We all agree to that, okay? The outer learning has to do with outer situations and people that assist the soul in its progression, and they're usually involved with the karmic learning that that soul is going to do, okay? Also, let's say if you are walking a formal path, the outer learning may consist of going to classes, workshops, trainings, etc., okay? But those are all outer focusings for the inner learning of the soul. And really, that happens through the experience of itself and through its divine inheritance and through its essence and coming to know itself as spirit, okay? And there is only one way home, and that's for a reason. It's not because I say so or I'm a fascist or anything else like that, okay? But we've been taught that by the Christ, and the Christ was no fool. Okay, the real teachings of the Christ have to do with the oneness of your will and God's will being one. And wide is the way, but narrow is the gate that leads unto eternal life. Well, there is only one way. The gate is narrow. There's only one way to do it. And that's the initiatory process in the sound current. That's just the way it is. And people can just go, no, that's not true. How can it be? And all that kind of stuff. And everybody says they're the only, well, that's fine. You live in the world of form. Well, then you deserve everything that comes with it. All the forms and all the confusion in the negative sense. Okay, but lift above the world of form and you get to see the truth of the unity of the Holy Spirit, of the oneness of God and man. And that's the whole essence, that's the whole nature, and that's the inner learning of the soul. Okay, but because you've forgotten that, you know, everybody can pretend that that question makes perfect sense. There's an outer learning, you come into the body, you have this outer. You see, you're out of the inner worlds. I mean, you're out of it, kiddo. Just the fact that you have put on a body, you're out of it. But that's the blessing and the opportunity and the gift of this life, because you can then choose to go in it and go into the spirit you are in and progress through the inner learning. And you come to know yourself more and more as spirit, more and more as soul. You know? And that's what you're going to do anyway. You know? And the thing is, too, you know, it always strikes me as how people mock up God. It's got to be so ominous and it's got to be so difficult. And you know, it's like what they did with Mother Teresa. Well, that's divine to take care of, you know, the poor, the extreme poor and those about to die. You know, that's the expression of it. Well, okay, if you think so. Not knocking that. That was a beautiful, beautiful expression of God, of devotion. That's for sure. Okay, but we tend to mock it up. You know, it reminds me of a story I read in my alumni magazine about some guy. You know, you just don't go to my school and become a priest. You know, well, this guy became a priest. You know, after like 7 or 8 years in the corporate world where he was making God knows how much money, you know, and he just kept feeling sick and stomach problems and depression and all that. And he'd walk around going, what's the point of all this nonsense? Right. And then he joined an order where they have a 10-year learning cycle before they get ordained. And the last couple of years he had to do service in the slums. And the service consisted of working with this charity that was a favorite charity, and they got a lot of money. And they would give this money to these poor people, very desperately poor people, a lot of them just refugees from war-torn areas. And they would start their own businesses. And he would help them, etc. Well, these people had a 50% success rate. Now, 50% success rate in business is very high, let alone a war-torn, ravaged area where people were, a lot of the failures were due to illness or simply getting killed. So he was extremely successful. And his comment was, gee, I didn't know divine providence, really intervened in my life until, you know, I saw it. You know, it's what we theology people call divine providence. Well, yeah, but it also was an aspect of your own consciousness that knew all the time that your background was perfect for what you wound up doing. You had to have had that kind of an education. You know, it was in a super, probably number one rated business school in the country. In order to help these people and know what you were doing, then you developed the compassionate part of yourself too. So you had the training. There was a plan for you. There's a plan for you. Okay? And the divine providence is within, you know? I mean, he didn't know about divine providence when he came from that school. To be honest, I didn't even know Don Trump was in my graduating class, but he was. I didn't know it. He got the money, I got the fame, so worked out okay. All right. But, okay. See, there's always, if we allow it, there's the confusion. You know, his life was handled. You know, there was a plan in it. He just, even though he was dumb and didn't know it, he was just open to it and let himself be led, and he had the integrity to give up a large income and prestige and status and people laughing in his face and saying, you want to become a priest? What, are you a nut? You know? And the irony is, now his assignment is in one of the wealthiest churches where all these kinds of people that he had worked with come, and he leads them in workshops and in prayers and et cetera, et cetera. And he's the one providing help for them. How about that? Okay, so there's a plan for each of us. Okay, outwardly, okay, but inwardly there's only one plan, and every soul is under that one plan by the divine architect. Okay, take another question out there. No? Question here, another question here, or we can call it a night? Should we call it a night? Okay, so it's good to see that there's not much confusion going on, that you're bright and bushy-tailed and pretty clear. Well, okay. And listen, do you want to get on here before I say goodnight? I'll tell you what, let me say goodnight to you all, and then Miss KP will have...